Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to another edition of the Way of the Truth Warrior. We're gonna go for another little drive here, and I got a few different things I want to chat with you about. We've had some protests going on in the US and other places, people in the thousands, hundreds of thousands, mostly students who have taken to the streets and are protesting the Second Amendment, and I want to weigh in on that. And then also we've got some things happening here in Canada where we've got the language police reining in once again, trying to tell people how to talk to other people. We're going to get into that. And then what else did I have? I've been looking at the headlines lately, and it's just, you always got to shake your head. And I'm not trying to become too absorbed with politics and the news headlines and stuff, but I feel like there's a lot of very important things happening all at the same time. And if we don't talk about it, I think a lot of massive changes are going to start to take place across Western countries that are going to radically change our entire world, our entire culture, the way we live our lives, the kind of world our children are going to grow up in. And I just wanted to talk about some of those things. So it'll come to me as we go. So let's just get through this. First off, David Hogg, who is a survivor of the school shooting that happened in February, who has now become a political advocate or a political commentator all of a sudden. And I've been watching some of his speeches and following his interviews. And I just got to say right off the bat, in no way do I advocate violence to any other human being, be it by a gun or by a stapler. I don't obviously advocate violence to anyone. We're trying to, hopefully, as a culture and as a society, prevent as much violence as we possibly can from happening. But we have to be very, very careful how far we take this train of reining in on people's rights. And you might look at me and go, well, freedom and rights and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's a thing of the past, because things have gotten so far out of hand now that we have to take away freedom. And you've got these young, very impressionable kids that are becoming these iconic figures now, but thanks to the media, specifically CNN, specifically the radical left that is looking anywhere they can find someone that they can groom and they can use as a mouthpiece for their political agenda. Not just what it may have started off with when it comes to someone like David, who experienced a horrific tragedy I can't even imagine. And obviously there's going to be a tremendous amount of anger and resentment and confusion and emotions involved in the lives of these poor young people who have had their lives affected by something so incredibly grotesque and horrific as these mass shooting events, okay? So I totally can empathize with that. I'm not going to go down the road of saying that he's just some crisis actor or, you know, it never happened. The discussion has gotten way out of hand, okay? What I think is that naturally, just on an individual level, we're all trying to find answers to the questions that we have when some kind of a tragedy happens. Like right after Las Vegas, or 9/11, or Oklahoma City, or any, on and on we could go, any of these shootings. We're always trying to find answers. Like, why? Why did this person do it? How did it happen? What can we do to stop it? We don't want this to happen again. I mean, these are horrible, horrible things. And sadly, it's just a part of the human reality that we go out there and we literally go ape shit on each other and we kill each other and we're brutal to each other and it's just, there's so many things that we're so complex that there are many factors that go into producing a serial killer, to transitioning somebody into the mindset of a sociopath, to bringing it to the point where they're willing to kill not just themselves, but everybody else around them, to burn the world. And we definitely need to do something about this because we have a lot more of these incidents popping up. But I will say that on the other side of the argument, when it comes to gun control, gun crime is down. Is actually down when you track it across the board. When you look around and you say, actually, gun violence is down comparatively. Yes, he brought up in his speech the statistic that we've got about 96 shootings every day in America. Now, is it the guns that are just going around and shooting people? Or is it people that are shooting people? Because if it's people shooting people, we better figure out why they're shooting people. I mean, take your pick of weapon. If you really want to kill people, you'll find a way. Okay? It just so happens that in America, you have a right to bear arms. You have a right to protect yourself. You have a right to have hunting rifles. You have all these things, okay? And maybe there are some things that can be done to help with better vetting of psychopaths and criminals in terms of how they're able to get a hold of firearms. But never, ever, ever forget that if you're a criminally insane person and you want to use specifically a gun or a specific kind of gun, that you can find that, whether there's a legality to it or not. See, because there was an interesting thing, and so let's just get into the gun debate a little bit. I've done some stuff in the past on this. I'm still just as convinced as ever of my position at this point in time. I have my own firearm license. I live in Canada, so I have both a restricted and non-restricted license. I'm a novice. I'm just looking at learning about the weapon, learning the safety, going to a range. I'm a martial artist, so I've studied weapons from medieval periods of time, and I want to study the weapons of the day. And I just, you know, it's a tool, and I hope that I would never have to use any kind of violence against anybody. But unfortunately, we don't live in a kumbaya world just yet, and we do have to be capable of defending ourselves. And that's why I train martial arts, I teach martial arts, I teach women's self-defense workshops, I teach young children how to defend themselves, anti-bullying strategies, I help give people confidence. I'm trying to also give them an overall mindset and way of life that helps foster good, healthy self-esteem, psychological development, physical health and nutrition, all of these things that play such a vital role in creating a healthy individual that is going to bring about amazing things in their society and in their community and in their family and in their own lives. And you try the best that you can to help those who are lost. But criminality and evil and psychopathy exists. It is a part of the fabric of this reality, especially when it comes to the human being. And I just want to say that when you start going down this road of taking away the two most vital aspects to a free society, which all pertain to the individual. The concept of Western civilization, the concept of America, was founded on the fact that as an individual, you are not subject to a collectivized rule of law. You're not subject to a collectivized rule of law where everybody around you can take away your inherent rights. So the inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The inherent right to speak your mind freely. Free speech. It's the First Amendment, okay? And then the Second Amendment is you have the right to defend yourself. And we could nitpick the gun argument to death with, well, look at the kind of guns they had back in the 1700s versus what we have today and all these kinds of things. There's a whole debate to be had about that. But let's just look at this as a concept surrounding the idea of freedom, okay? Because the founding fathers of America and the founding fathers of Western civilization were very well aware that if we give up freedom for security, we end up with neither. But on the other hand, if we build a structure around the idea of freedom and we embed in that culture the concepts of self-responsibility and morals and philosophy and a sense of identity and all these things, that we'll have a good amount of both. We'll have a reasonable amount of both. We'll have more freedom and more security. But if you start taking a fear-based approach, which is, let's just straitjacket everything, nerf everything. It's a helicopter parent syndrome that says, we want to interfere and micromanage every detail to try to prevent tragedies from happening. When the truth of the matter is that you cannot prevent all of these things from happening. You do your best to try to prevent as much as you can. And I'm all for hearing out all the sides of this argument and trying to decipher what is actually the best way. Like, actually the best way. Like, I'm not just holding on to my side of this being pro Second Amendment or pro freedom to defend yourself. Even though, of course, there are people who abuse that, but there will always be people who abuse anything of any law that you put into place. There will be people that abuse it, and there will be people who disobey it, and there will be people who circumvent it and try to find another way. I mean, just look at the prohibition of alcohol. Look at what kind of criminality that racket built. The mafias and the violence and all that kind of stuff, just for alcohol. And the more power that you give, you take away from yourself. And the old saying goes, with great power comes great responsibility. So the more power you give away, you're actually giving responsibility away. And the more you give it away to the government or any authority, you're exchanging it for this illusion of safety, the illusion of security. You're going to wake up one morning eventually and you're going to realize that you don't have any freedom anymore. And you've sold yourself out. You've sold out not just yourself, but your family, your community, your nation. You sold out their future by saying, yeah, you know what? Because I'm afraid, because of these things that happen, which happen anyways in nature, I don't care what system, you can look in any page of history, in any culture, I don't care. There is no such thing as this perfect gleaming light of these perfect people that were just not violent at all and just living in perfect harmony with nature, and they weren't, there was no savagery whatsoever. It was just perfect singing around, kumbaya. That, it's never existed, guys. It's never existed. There's been better forms of it, but it's never completely existed. And we've tried every system in the book. And still, as human beings, we can't resist going fucking crazy and killing each other in a variety of ways. A variety of ways. We've boiled each other in vats of oil. We've hung, drawn, and quartered each other. We've tied people by all of their limbs, so their neck, their arms, and their legs, to 5 horses, and had those horses gallop in 5 different directions to literally rip that person apart. We've tried doing it more humanely with swords and axes and beheadings, and then we invented a guillotine. We've shot each other with, we've created these flying projectiles that fly at you. You know, think of like the evolution of the bow and arrow, and then the long bow, and then the crossbow, and then, okay, we now have a system where we can shoot this little tiny projectile at you at, you know, how many hundreds of miles an hour, and it can just take you out. Like, with the bombs and the variety of ways that we have now at our disposal of how to kill other human beings is absolutely monstrous. It would blow anybody's mind if you actually sat down and compared all of the ways that we've used to kill each other, and that still happened today. hanging each other upside down and using giant saws to saw each other in half. Crazy, 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 unfathomable shit. And so we try, oh, let's outlaw murder. The first, one of the Ten Commandments, one of the oldest rules in the book across all cultures is thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not murder. And murder is different than killing. You're like, what, David, what did you just say? Oh my God, how can you say that? Any kind of killing is murder. Not in self-defense. Is self-defense murder? If you go into any court of law, if someone breaks into your home and you pull out a firearm or a friggin' kitchen knife and you take that person out because they were about to harm your children, are you a murderer? Because lethal force was the only way in that moment when you're standing there in your pajamas, half asleep, freaking the hell out, that you're in the middle of a home invasion, that is a violent home invasion scenario. Are you a murderer? Or what if you use a weapon of sorts, whether it be your body, maybe you've turned your body into a weapon because you train martial arts, or whether you've fashioned weapons out of sticks, or you have slingshots, or you have bow and arrows, or you have knives, or you have, I don't know, like billy clubs, mace. Like, there's so many weapons that we have on the market now as we just keep experiencing a variety of violence in our neighborhoods. No matter what weapon of choice you use, sometimes there's a time to kill. There's a time to kill. There's an entire history in the warrior traditions of the world that discusses this, and it discusses the when and the where and the how and the what and the philosophy and the morals and the right and the wrong and all this kind of stuff. The aim, of course, is not to go out and just kill indiscriminately like these sociopathic people that are shooting up schools and malls and mosques and churches and, you know, God knows what else people will think of to go in and start shooting up. And for every one of those incidents, there are thousands of people who are capable of defending themselves, and that are, whether they're firearm owners or whatever else they're skilled in, that don't go out and commit those crimes. Or that are actually, you could say there's hundreds of incidents where people's lives are actually saved by gun owners because police can't just get there, you know? And then the other aspect of the whole right to self-defense thing, because that's really what that's about. The right to bear arms, the right to, as an individual, defend your property, defend your life, defend your rights, your inherent right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. They recognize that that's not something that just comes like automatically. I think a lot of the younger generation today, they don't know about what it took to get to where we are now. And it took a lot of killing. It took a lot of blood. It took a lot of strength. It took a lot of fighting for years and living in horrible, horrible, horrible conditions and surviving mistake after mistake in order to come to this point. And then here we are watching it disappear in front of our eyes. One little inch at a time. Oh, we'll take away this right. You can't have a bump stock. Oh, you can't have an automatic. No, you can't have a semi-automatic. You can't have a handgun. You can't have a shotgun. You know what? We're all going vegan. No hunting anymore. Killing too many animals. And whether you agree with those points or not, it's about whether or not, in the eyes of the law, you're a criminal for defending yourself and having the means to defend yourself. Now, what's interesting about this whole discussion, okay, is that I was looking up on CTV News. CTV is a big Canadian news media company, and they had the speech by this kid, and it's like, rah rah, we're starting democracy. We are gonna change things. We're gonna come together, and we are gonna do. You can just hear the leftist slogans coming out of this poor kid's mouth because, you know, he's being sort of, clearly he's being groomed, guys. Clearly he's being groomed to be a mouthpiece, because that's a very powerful mouthpiece that they can use to not to come across as genuine, but, well, no, to come across as genuine, but not necessarily to be genuine about whether they care about it. It's about a political agenda, whether he knows it or not. That's what he's being used for, because it's the same. You just gotta, when you see that he's reading a speech and you see that he's being given questions and being told how to answer by CNN and stuff like that when he's on there, and you read, and that all came out, by the way, that all came out, and we know they use these kinds of people all the time. It comes from the other side too. I mean, people on both sides, people that are like pro NRA, obviously there's a huge discussion that's happening, but make no mistake about it, it's a very powerful symbol to have a victim of a crime come out and now be like, we need to completely get rid of guns. We need to rein in on, you know, freedom of this and freedom of that. And we need to formulate a democracy. Well, what's a democracy? A democracy just means mob rule. It has nothing whatsoever to do with freedom. America was not founded as a democracy. It was founded as a democratic republic. And that's why you have the Democrats fighting for the democratic side, and you have the Republicans fighting for the Republican side. You're supposed to have a balanced discourse. A democratic republic. Some things are going to be for the benefit of all, and some things we're going to sit here and we're going to defend the rights of the individual, because if we're going to have a society, we have to manage both. So don't give me the shit about it being a pure democracy. You need to go look up that term and realize that the democratic this and the democratic that. Go look at the socialists and the communist countries around the world, and you will see that they're the democratic this and that. It has nothing to do with what you think it does. It's as if democracy just means freedom. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. It means rule by the majority. The majority rules. I'm looking at this article, and underneath this article is another article about how criminals are getting access to illegal firearms in Canada by using the dark web. Have you heard of the dark web? It's kind of like the black market web. There's a dark web. It's crazy. It's like dark matter. So they're getting firearms illegally online on the dark web. So it's basically the black market. So if you think for a second that by giving the government more power, you're going to stop gun violence, you've got to be joking me. You've got to be. And I would love to hear the argument. I've heard all the arguments. I watch debates regularly. I've heard all sides of it. But give me your unique spin on how you plan to deal with that aspect of it. Because that's how we're going to solve the issue. And here again, I'm not saying we're not going to solve the issue. I'm all for solving this problem. I am 100% about stopping violence. But we can't sacrifice freedom. We can't give an inch of it away. Because when you give an inch, these people take a freaking light year. You need to know that. You need to just look at the history of the track that the government of the United States and the government of Western countries has taken. Because it's all the same. It's all run by the same shit. It's all the same stuff. You can even find speeches read by Canadian prime ministers and Australian prime ministers and presidents that are identical. So don't give me this crap that we're all independent sovereign nations. That's a thing of the past. That's an illusion. And now they just want to make that shit official. But anyways, that's another rant. If you give them an inch, they take a light year. And where does that leave the citizen? Like, think about it like this. Okay, there's horrible things happening. Like all these gun deaths. First of all, gun deaths are the, like, one of the lower denominators of the way people are killing each other, okay? And violence, this, and the statistics. And like you said, if you look at the numbers, they're actually dropping. They're actually dropping. And the majority of gun shooting, mass shootings, take place in gun-free zones. Hello? Your idea doesn't work. More laws means less shootings? Nope. That's not what the track record of history shows us across different countries. There might be a few exceptions here and there, but it's vastly more on the side of, no, you're just making more laws, more red tape, making it more bureaucratic, giving up freedom, and the guns, people are still finding guns, they're still shooting each other, still killing each other. In fact, criminals look for places that are gun-free zones. That's why they happen in those areas, because they're easy targets. And what about vehicles? Like, what about vehicular manslaughter? How many people die every second, every day from drunk driving? Are we going to tell people they're not allowed to drink anymore? I'm sure it's going to get to that. It's going to go back to prohibition, because they're just like, well, I've just had enough of people driving drunk and killing people. And I've had enough of that. I don't want to see that happen. But is getting the government to make a law to restrict everybody going to stop the problem? Like, do you think if you said, okay, drinking alcohol is illegal, that all the alcoholics out there are just going to be like, ah, shucks, no more alcohol for me? They're going to find a way. Are you kidding me? Half these people would die if they went cold turkey to get off drinking booze. There's a human problem. There's a psychological problem. There's another problem here that is producing minds that are capable of going out. I mean, look at back in the day. I talk to elderly people all the time, because I have a lot of respect for what they know and what they've experienced, and I'm curious. And they used to tell me, like, yo, we'd go to school, all the pickup trucks in the school parking lot had shotguns and 30-06s and handguns. They're all packed in the back. They weren't even locked in. They're just stuck in the back under a cloth, because we're going to go hunting rabbits after school, or we're going to go, you know, shoot some targets or whatever. And there wasn't all this shootings and mass shooting. That wasn't something that just... If you follow the history of people who've owned guns, that you're just finding, oh, look at all the shootings. Like, obviously, since guns have been invented, people have been shooting each other. But most people don't shoot each other. Most people don't kill each other. Most people don't go out driving drunk and killing people and doing stupid shit like that. Most people don't. So you have to have laws to try to protect the average citizen. I totally understand that. And we've given that responsibility to the government. That's why we're paying them. That's what they're our employees. What do you think we're giving them money for? Although we all know that it's a scam, and that, you know, our economies have been bought up and sold over to international banking cartels. So the government doesn't run shit. Okay, just so you know, they run a little tiny microscopic piece of the pie. The rest of it is all run from upstairs somewhere, because when you have a situation where a country and a government is in debt up to its frickin' eyeballs, do you honestly think they have the biggest say at the table? Are you kidding me right now? Do you have the biggest say at the table when it comes to your mortgage, when you go to the bank and you quote-unquote bought a house and you own your house? You don't own shit. You owe compound interest that will be more than double, if not triple, what the value of your home is. You'll be paying that back to the bank for 20, 30, 40 years of your life. You don't own shit. What a good scam. That's what our governments are in that situation right now to these big private banks. We're in debt. So no, sorry, Trudeau, Trump, any of them. They're not the final decision makers on so many issues. On some, yes, but on so many, they're not. They're just not. Those people are supposed to be representatives of us. We've totally sold off our entire system. That's why it's failing. It's not because the system failed. It's because we failed the system. And those who we've elected have failed the system, have failed to represent it properly. And there has been this constant movement in an infiltration into areas of government and media and academia to try and completely subvert the idea of a democratic republic and a free society and the rights of an individual, etc. So we need to take all that into account when we're talking about this issue and saying, I will I want complete reform. I want to oust the guy that's in office and put a new guy in that's going to give this law now and completely subvert and tear up the Constitution. That's old. Freedom's old. Freedom's for old people. Out with the old, in with the new. The new what? The new world order, motherfuckers. That's what they want. These young kids don't know their head from their ass when it comes to what's really happening here politically. And yet they're now the spokesperson and leading an entire new generation of people. Might as well have Justin Bieber up there. You know what I mean? Like, we need to have this debate. I don't want to corner the debate. I'm for free speech. I'm for an actual discussion on this. This is an important issue. We do need to figure it out. But knee-jerk reactions like this that are purely coming from the radical left, that is a representation of a globalist Marxist ideology that is working on implanting a political agenda that is to subvert freedom because they want security over freedom. They don't want freedom. And these young kids who are scared shitless, who feel like they've been sold out, because they have. And it's not because of the system. It's because of the fact that the system was diverted away from its original intention. And the generations before were falling asleep at the wheel and not doing the due diligence of holding the feet to the fire of the people that led. So there's a lot more reasons behind why things have gotten to where they are, other than just saying, oh, well, clearly the American experiment didn't work and freedom doesn't work because I've been let down and I'm paying all these student loans and my country's in debt and my children's children are going to be in debt forever and the environment has been destroyed and all these things. So they're rightfully up in arms, but their solutions are not coherent. And we need to act like adults and lead these young children to the truth and say, here, Johnny, have a seat. Let's have a discussion. That's why I seek wisdom from elders to me, people that know more than me. I seek them out. Where do you see the kids today asking people from the older generations what their opinion is? No, they're taught to disrespect the older generations by their teachers, by their professors, by the media. Mom and dad don't know shit. Most of these kids weren't even raised by two parents. They're raised in daycares. They're raised by television. In all areas of music, art, movies, television, in all areas, it's become polluted with just a bunch of pornographic nonsense. So these kids are raised in a toxic environment, and they're taught to live in a fear-based environment. And we're not taught strength anymore. We're taught that strength is bad. We're taught that masculinity is bad and even femininity is bad, and we're just going to mix everything up and we're done with freedom because freedom hasn't worked. Freedom has produced nothing but school shootings and corruption and waste and all these things. And they can't see the bigger picture. So it's up to people of intelligence to educate them and to make sure that it's clearly understood that you're not going to put a Band-Aid on this gushing wound that is the state of our society right now. You can't put a Band-Aid on it like this. It'll just make it worse. And you have to be extremely, if history's taught us anything, you have to be extremely careful how much power you just hand over on a silver platter to the government. Okay? Like, it's just never gone well. One of my favorite memes is like showing all of the dictators of the 20th and 21st century, and they're like, all of these people agree gun control works. Because that's how it goes. It's like, why do you think the amendments were listed as such? First Amendment, Second Amendment. It was free speech. You have the right to speak your mind because speech is a product of thinking. So you have a right to free thought. We're a free country. You have to have the right to say what you want, even if it offends people. So that's under attack. And that's where we get into what's going on in Canada, where you're not even supposed to be saying things like Mr. and Mrs. anymore. You can't say Mr. and Mrs. You can't say humankind. You can't say mankind. It has to be peoplekind. You know, 157 different pronouns now that you have to learn and be conversant with, and that you're forced by compelled speech laws to use. And even though I'll call people whatever the hell they want me to call them, but I don't want the government to be there to say, if you don't, you're going to be pulled before a human rights tribunal and you'll be stripped of all your quote-unquote privileges. It's like, no, they're not privileges, they're rights. We're not based on privilege, we're just based on rights. Right? And then after we go through the free speech thing, so like you can't speak out against anything you disagree with, and now we're going to take away your right to defend yourself, we're just going to keep chipping away at all these things. Because freedom is out, collectivism and tyranny is in. You know? That's my concern. If we can come to an agreement, if we can come to a point in this whole discussion, this debate right now, this whole socio-political debate, if we can come to a point of equilibrium where we can say, all right, we both don't want to see people shooting up schools. We both hate, you know, racism and sexism and all of these horrible things. We all hate those things. We're arguing about the solutions, because if you go towards the direction of security over freedom, there's a very valid and legitimate concern that we're going to go into a completely tyrannical situation now. Okay? If we do nothing, that's also bad. So I agree. But we have to think about what's the rational approach here. What's the realistic approach to how we're going to deal with this? It's not guns that kill people. It's individuals that make choices that kill people. You can try to straitjacket the world as much as you want, but you will never quell that. There will always be evil people out there. Always. So what do you do about it? Do you just say, well, the only people that will have the right to say and do what they want is the government. And the only people that will have a right to arm themselves and hold a power differential over the rest of the population is the government and the criminal class. Because you can't completely eradicate the criminal class. And I think that these postmodernists believe that if they go far enough down this road, they can force everybody into a peaceful world, which that's the dream of every dictator in history. That is the storyline of every post-apocalyptic film that you've ever seen. One tyrant dethroned, another one takes its place, wearing a different guise with a different mantra. It's the same. It's power. It's about power. And they don't want the average person to have power, because it's seen as being wrong now. We gave you power. Do you see the mind control? We gave you power. We gave you freedom. We tried that. It didn't work. You guys abused it. So we're taking the power back. No more free speech. No more right to defend yourself. None of this. And we're just going to chip away. So if you think people like me are just being picky about speech laws and all these kinds of things, like, oh, Dave, relax, lighten up. Just, you know, No. It's a slow, methodical assault on freedom. And it will not stop there. It will not stop there. These people will burn the world down to try to save it. You can just see the psychology. It's fear. And fear makes people irrational. So, regardless of what any government says, you have the right to speak your mind and think freely. I don't care if they put you in a gulag. You, as a human being, no matter where you live in the world, you have a right to think for yourself, to act for yourself. You do not have the right to steal from anybody else, though. You don't have the right to steal someone's life, to steal someone's property, or anything like that. You do not have the right to do that. And we don't want the government to now have that kind of power. That was not why the government was put in. The problem is that our governments have become too big. And now they're out of control, and you can't even manage it. It's so big, you can't even audit the government. It's unauditable. It's just too big and too deep and too corrupt and too much red tape and too much, you know, compartmentalization. So, and you have the right to think for yourself. You have the right to speak whatever you want to speak. Free speech is an absolute. It is. I'm sorry. You're just going to have to deal with that. Freedom, security, what are you going to take? You have the freedom to speak up for yourself when you hear someone say something offensive to you, like an adult. Are we going to let the government get into the position where it treats us like children? Do you really want that to be the case? Just because you feel like you'll be safer in that situation? And then, do you believe you have the right to defend yourself? And where do we draw the line? Are we allowed to have spatulas? Are we allowed to have knives? Are we allowed to have axes? Are we allowed to have all these chemical products underneath our sink, which we could use to build things like napalm and all kinds of explosives? Do we have the right to drive our own vehicles? Or are they going to take that away too and say, you know what, there's too many car accidents. So to keep you safe, all the cars are going to be fully automated now, and all you need to do is use a voice command and you'll go wherever you want to go. And hey, that might be convenient, but I mean, what about the autonomy of just driving your own vehicle? Freedom for security. There we go again. Well, you can't have a semi-automatic. You can't have an automatic weapon. Okay, I personally don't want an automatic weapon. I don't give a shit about that. Okay, but you know, when it comes down to defending yourself against not just criminals, but what if you're close to the border in Texas and you have these gangs coming across that are just going into homes and taking families out on the front yard and massacring them? What do you, you know, with this whole, there's all these cartels and stuff, the drug situation. What are you going to use, a little BB gun to defend yourself? Or are you just going to call the cops and wait, you know? Well, you'd want an automatic weapon in that regard. What if the government becomes so tyrannical that they start rounding people up and putting them in work camps again? In what way are you going to be able to resist that? Now, you could say, well, they've got satellite and laser beam weapons and all kinds of chemical warfare. Of course, of course. But if you have the majority of the population that is armed, that is trained, and that has the fire of freedom in their heart, that's a very difficult scenario. It's like a predator. Like, yeah, a lion can kick the shit out of you. But if it sees that in any way you're formidable and that in any way you're not going to be an easy kill, it's going to be like, ah, screw it, I could find someone easier to pick on. You know what I mean? So, like, you don't want to make yourself an even more easy target to these kinds of people. So you don't want the only people in your society that has the power differential of firearms to be the government and the criminal class, and leaving the average law-abiding, tax-paying citizen completely defenseless. So the good people in the society are the defenseless ones. How does that work out? How is that going to go? Honestly, the majority, 99.9% of firearm owners are not out there shooting and killing people. Most of the shootings are done by illegal firearms, and they're done in gun-free or gun law restricting zones. The proof is there. What else do you need to know that this is not the way to solve? Taking freedom away is not the solution. There is a solution out there. I don't even know if I know all of what that would be, but we can get on a better track if we can at least understand that. So defend your free speech and defend your right to defend yourself, because they're coming after it. And they won't stop with just, oh, let's just get rid of your bump stocks on your guns, and then let's take this away, and let's take that. They're not going to end it there. It's going to keep going. And we need to educate these poor young people who are being brainwashed by propaganda. They're not being taught the full story here. They're not really being taught. And it's easy to fall back on an emotional-based argument because you're afraid, because you've experienced trauma. It's easy to use these people and victimize them and then put them up to dance like puppets in front of the people. And that's a very powerful tool that can be used for propaganda purposes to bring about a political outcome. Just keep that in mind. Maybe I'm wrong, but just keep it in mind as a possibility and look into this deeper and ask yourself the question. This is the question of our time. All this stuff going on right now can boil down to this discussion right here, which is, do you want freedom? Or do you want the illusion of security? Because it's going to be an illusion of security. Trust me. It's not ever going to be secure. They'll sell you on it being security. It's not. How's your social security doing? How's your pension doing right now? How many people are in jail right now in private prisons that shouldn't be there? And how many real criminals are running amok in the streets? How many known jihadi terrorists, known, are being brought in to places like the UK and given citizenship to live next door to people who were born and raised in Britain? And this is happening everywhere. Like, so It's clear that the radical left and the whole that whole side of the argument doesn't care really about security. For some reason, they want your right to defend yourself and your right to free speech. But bringing in millions and millions of people from all these other countries, they're suddenly given a pass. You need to ask yourself why that is. I'm not trying to blame the people, the immigrants coming in. I'm just saying it's the policymakers here that are betraying their own people in this way. And we need to ask why. Why? This is not making any sense. So with the amount of terrorist attacks, the amount of violence in the streets, the amount of social and political unrest, the amount of political tension right now, do you really want to just give up all of your rights right now? This is not a good time. I'd be just like, okay, we'll have this debate, but this is just not a good time right now. Like, we need to think rationally about this. Think it through. Don't just think the first thought that comes to your head. Oh, well, seems like a simple equation, Dave. Someone took a gun and went into a school and shot and killed people. Therefore, the problem must be the gun. Unfortunately, this is not grade one math. This is like some algebra shit where you got to carry the one and there's a whole thing. You know what I mean? Like there's a much more complex situation here than just, oh, well, yeah, that makes sense. See, that kind of argument appeals to dumb people that don't know what they're talking about and don't really research these things and just go, it's horrible. These people died. Of course. Yeah, just give up all the freedoms. I don't want more people to die. That's when you know they've got you. You've lost your spine. You've lost your reason. You're throwing your brain out of your head. And you've said, all right, I'll give up all my freedoms because I want to feel safer. And man, I don't want to see more people die. And then you give up your freedom and people are still dying. And you're like, okay, well, I guess I got to give up more freedom. That freedom wasn't enough. The cost wasn't high enough. I got to give up more. And then you give up more. Oh, people are still, actually now more people are dying. Oh, damn. What do we, well, I guess we just give up all our freedom then. Nazi Germany, Soviet Union, Cambodia, Mao Zedong's China, the Middle Ages, serfdom, no weapons allowed, only the knights on horseback, only the lords of the lands had weapons. All the martial arts that I study come from poor people, poor farmers using farm tools and developing entire martial arts systems because swords and bows and arrows and spears and heavy horse, you know, cavalry and all that, like that's all outlawed. So these poor farmers are using little sticks and twigs and like tying things together and like, you know, figuring out ways to try to defend themselves and their family from these tyrannical people who, when you give them enough power, they take it. Holy shit, do they ever take it? And then they beat you over the head with it. So think twice before you're going to give up your first two major rights that were given to you and bequeathed to you by people who fought and died to create the freest civilization, the freest society that's ever lived. Even though there's problems, and even though it's drifted so far away from the original vision that it's obscene, it's not even the same place. Just recognize, go read the true history, go read some Thomas Paine, go read the true stories, go actually read all the amendments, go read the Constitution. I'm in Canada, I'm reading the Bill of Rights, I'm embarrassed by what they've done, even though it was pretty much just a British, territory anyways, set up as a socialist country, but I mean, still, free, way freer than 95% of the rest of the world. Why do you think everybody's coming here? And then as they come here, they're trying to bring what they left in terms of ideas into our country, and we're just like, yeah, sure, please, let's just change the furniture. Yeah, it's all outdated, we should update it. Just like I update my iPhone, let's update the Constitution every 2 seconds and just kind of chip away at that and add this and take that away and blah, 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 blah. It's all being done by design, guys. This is not fluke. This is not something that's just sort of, oh, it just happened because of all these circumstances that happened all of a sudden randomly. No. This has been happening since the day America was founded. Since the day that free societies were founded. The enemies have crept out of the shadows and out of the sewers and come in and tried to infect it from day one because freedom was hunted around the globe. It was hunted. All it ever asked was the liberty of appearing, as Thomas Paine said, but it was hunted first. And it's been hunted ever since it was realized. So watch it. You're dealing with predators you don't even understand, who are far more intelligent than you think. And these poor young people, and these a lot of these people are just, they're in hypnotism. They've been hypnotized. They don't know. They don't know the whole story. That's just my opinion. Agree to disagree, whatever you want, but this is just how I feel right now. I'm for freedom, as much freedom as we possibly can. You know, and I want people to be secure, but to me, security comes from your responsibility and connecting to your community and having a strong family and having values and putting the government in its place and reminding them that they work for you, you don't work for them. Having free independent media that's actually going to tell you the whole story instead of just slanting the facts and brainwashing you every single day. Security comes from a knowledge of what freedom really is. And then with that knowledge and with that passion, people will never just roll over and hand it over like that. The only reason we're rolling over and giving up everything we've ever had is because we're afraid. Freedom comes from courageous people. Freedom comes from strong people. It was given to us by strong people. It wasn't given to us by 99% of the population. Thank you very much. It was given. How many people in America, how many Americans rose up and fought the British? It was like, I don't know, 5% or 8%. It's a very small fraction of the population that actually fought and died and won against the British Empire. And they weren't even using a sophisticated military setup. They were using guerrilla warfare. And they fought for it and they achieved it. And here we are. And now we're like, it's all outdated. Freedom, we tried it. It's over. Tyranny is the new black. It's the new color. It's the new fashion trend. You know. So, I just don't want to see it go out the window. And at the same time, I do want to see a solution happen. The best way I know how to help with this is to get into my community where I live and teach martial arts and teach philosophy and inspire these kids and build their self-esteem. Make sure they don't feel like loners. That actually you teach them the virtue of being alone sometimes. The virtue of thinking for yourself and having alone time and creating a sacred space. And learning how to be strong enough that every insult thrown your way or every time you feel neglected, that you can still fall back on this incredible reservoir of the human spirit. And that there's something more amazing to you. You have so much potential inside of you, you don't even know what it is. And unfortunately, you're taking it out in a violent and backwards way because you haven't been shown these things. Because most of these poor kids do not have strong father figures in their life. Their mom has probably tried to do the very best that she can. But who knows? Like, strong parental figures is a huge thing. The amount of drugs and all kinds of stuff that these kids are exposed to. I mean, just getting into the fact that many of these shooters are on these psychotropic drugs. Let's get into why are these medications that are there to help with depression and anxiety and all this ADHD shit, why is it producing homicidal and suicidal tendencies? It's written right there on the frickin' package in the insert. And you're like, yeah, no correlation. It's all guns. Give me a break. And trust me, guys, I'm the last person that wants to see people out there shooting each other. I'm not into that. I'm not sitting here like, I love guns. I love freedom. And I don't want to see that get taken away in any regard. That's why, for me, even the whole Bill C-16, the free speech laws and everything, it's not because I have a problem with Muslim people or transgender people or with the gun thing that I have a problem with stopping violence. It's that these things are the arguments that are used very conveniently to try to pull in the emotional heartstrings of the population to take away freedom, ultimately. That's the point. That's what you have to understand. It's not about what you think it's about. So the debate gets lost in all of these emotional arguments of people like, well, you must be this and you must think that. And it's like, you don't even know me. What do you think? Bring it down to freedom versus security and everything will start to make sense to you. So if you give up freedom for security, you'll have neither. And I'll rest my case on the pages of history.